It was Sunday afternoon when the phone rang. I could see it was an Iowa phone call. The caller informs me, "We're working on our meeting and your name came up." I said, "You must have been scraping the bottom of the barrel." There was an immediate confirmation of, "Well, yeah." Made me think of the time that Charles called and asked me to talk. Where is he? But he forgot to send me the information of the meeting, and when I was discussing it with him, he made the comment he must have sent it to someone else, and it was obvious that I was not first choice. And then he confessed I was either third or fourth. You know, I don't mind the abuse. I don't take offense. I enjoy the joking with one another, and in fact, there's been an awful lot of holes I've dug just to give others opportunity to push me into it. Many of us enjoy the joking with each other and having fun and teasing, but I don't believe anyone here enjoys put-downs and insult as a steady diet. It's not the way we should be. Every once in a while, it just gets a little bit old. But humor does add to a variety of ways of the ways that we communicate. It makes us smile, laugh, it breaks the ice, it opens doors. You know, as long as we're joking with each other and teasing one another, everyone needs to know that's involved, that this is with love, and not to let it get out of hand. But where does humor fit in our lives? In Ecclesiastes 3 and 4, it says, "There is a time to weep, and there is a time to laugh." I truly believe that humor and laughter is a blessing from God to be enjoyed, but to be used appropriately. Laughter provides many health benefits for the mind and body, particularly in the immune and cardiovascular system. Laughing is also one of the fastest methods of relaxation, known to quickly reduce stress and the physical and mental illness associated with stress. Additionally, laughing is a great form of exercise that burns calories. Laughing is considered, you know, someone's trying to lose weight up here right now. That's not funny. Laughing is considered an emotional medicine to boost the immune system, reduce stress, dissolve anger, lower blood pressure, and to reduce the risk of heart disease. Laughter has a positive effect on blood pressure. When an individual laughs, the first thing the blood pressure does is increase, then the blood pressure decreases lower than normal. This generates deeper breathing, in which in turn sends more oxygenated blood through the body. How's that, Greg? Oh, humor and laughter, it is a blessing. I really believe it is a blessing. It's a natural reaction, and it is good for us. But we should respond with humor in appropriate situations. It would be inappropriate for us to be laughing at a situation that would call for seriousness or weeping. What is it that makes us laugh? Do we laugh with others or at others? And I see a big difference. Are we humored at things that are inappropriate or even evil? You know, not everything is funny. There are those that will laugh at almost anything, almost a nervous reaction. That's their immediate reaction is laughter. I don't believe that's healthy. I don't believe it's a good thing. There are those that their laughter is promoted only by the laughters of others, and they may not even understand what is funny. But some laughter is contagious. You see a small child laughing, and it just makes you smile to think about it. My youngest boy, he'll get laughing, and he'll get on a roll, and it'll just make you laugh. And maybe just his reaction to something is contagious, and you find out, you may laugh about that, or you may just be laughing at him. One of the things that is a real burr under my saddle is the canned laughter, that's what I call it, on television. It tells you what's funny. It tells you when to laugh. You know, back when they used to film and they had live audiences, Now that you knew when it was laughter. But I go into the room and I hear the kids watching a show, and I say, listen to that laughter. Just kind of block out what they're saying and listen to the laughter. It's a recording. It's the same thing over and over. They tell you what's funny. That insults me. Let me find out what's funny myself. We may laugh when we're expected to laugh. It just may be the polite thing to do. The joke that you just heard, it may not be funny. Or you may have heard it before. You may have heard it many times before. Is humor ever appropriate in the worship service? Many of you know or have known Brother Ray Turner and Brother Ray Stevens both. I remember at Murray Road, Ray Stevens was giving a talk one time, and he referred to Adam and Eve being in the garden, and it referred to Eve being tempted and eating of the apple. Now, Ray Turner was very quick to compliment Ray on his comments and enjoyed his thoughts, but he says, I have to question you. What makes you think it was an apple? Well, the response from Ray Stevens was, let's just for a minute assume it was an apple. The problem wasn't the apple in the tree. The problem was the pear on the ground. The brother had baited us. He made a point, and he had our attention. You know, a lot of times in our writing sermons or in speech writing in general, normally in the introduction there is an attention getter. Something to draw the attention of your audience. A short story, a visual aid, a shocking statement. A number of times it's something involving humor. It's often used. Something to set the scene for your topic. The pulpit is not a stage. It's not a stage for entertainment. We should never use this time for entertainment, but to edify. But I see no harm in using humor as a tool of edifying. Don't waste people's time up here entertaining. This is a situation of edifying. It's obvious that someone here has a sense of humor by the sermon titles that are assigned. You know, there are awkward times that during the church service that we just have to laugh at ourselves. A brother using a tuning fork takes the tuning fork and hits it on his knuckles, and in a moment of absent-mindedness put his knuckle to the ear instead of the tuning fork. You had to be humored at this. A guest speaker one time was telling the story of Jonah, and he was getting very intense. And he gets to the point of, and there Jonah was in the whaley of the bale. And he stopped with a very puzzled look, and he tried again. In the whaley of the bale. His wife rocked the pew while she suppressed her laughter as he made a third attempt with the same results. If you were not humored, you weren't paying attention. Laughter would have been a natural reaction, and it would have relieved some stress for everyone, I'm sure. Unfortunately, laughter and humor, they have an evil side. They have a dark side. And many of us may hesitate to share jokes with others for fear of what jokes they may share with us. I am one that enjoys a good joke. Keith wondered why on earth they gave me this topic. But when I'm at work, when I'm around people I don't know, there's a lot of times that I don't share humor with them until I find out what kind of people they are, because I don't want to hear some of the humor that they find is funny. In Ephesians 5, 3 and 4 says, but fornication and all uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting. Now the New King James Version says, foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. The King James says, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. The NIV words it, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse jesting, which is out of place. Now, jesting, I understand to be a quick and witty reply. King James just leaves it that way. The New King James clarifies it as saying coarse jesting, which I understand to be vulgar and rude. Ribaldry is the word, I believe. It's indecent in speech, language, coarsely mocking, abusive, or irreverent. I see a huge difference between jesting and coarse jesting. It is awkward and uncomfortable to be around someone like this, someone that is vulgar in their humor, someone that is rude, one that takes a pure comment and perverts it, someone that jokes about topics that should not be discussed. This is not the person we want to be, nor is it the type of person we want to keep company with. That's not funny. Should a Christian always be serious and never be humored? You know, we have a number of verses that says, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We should live soberly, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayer. Should we always be serious and never have a place for laughter? If so, what do we do with Ecclesiastes 3 and 4? There is a time to weep and a time to laugh. One commentary that I normally like to go to and use it for some research. He says, think not a smile sinful, but think not jesting harmless. Christians should be grave and serious, though cheerful and pleasant. They are redeemed for other purposes than to make people laugh. The true course of life is midway between, and then he gives a number of balances of lifestyles. And one of them, he says, sourness and lightness. Now, the definition of sour is to be bitter, to be disagreeable, below standard, bitter in spirit or in temper, to be cross. If I understand this at all, I disagree. Now, the Bible is inspired and commentaries are helpful, but they're not inspired. Our life should be the farthest thing from being sour, I believe. Now, he doesn't say that we should be sour, but be balanced between sour and lightness. Now, why should we even lean toward the idea of being sour? Galatians 5 and 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. There is no law about cheerfulness. There is no law against being glad or joyful. Now, there is never a place for Christians to live a life that involves obscenities, filthiness, vulgar, rude, joking. But should we shine our light to prove our sourness? If we are thrilled to be a Christian, we should appear to be thrilled. Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? I do not only criticize this commentary, but I'm critical of those that follow this train of thought. I have more than one time been involved in a situation where we're having a good time and someone says, we're really having a good time. I hope we're not doing anything wrong. Should I feel guilty about having a good time? If it's wholesome and innocent, it is a blessing from God. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. Apparently, some people feel we need to drain our emotion, we need to drain our expressions to appear religious. I don't believe that. I don't want to display my religion with a sad countenance, a somber look, or a gloomy face. Becoming a Christian is the most serious decision we will ever make. That is serious. Giving your love, your life, and your will over to the Lord is extremely serious. Doing the will of the Lord to please Him and to desire to be with Him, that is serious. Avoiding eternal damnation in a tormenting flame is very sobering. But I believe our witnessing would be very damaged if we lived it 100% serious gloom, doom, and depression. We need to be serious about serious things. And that's another topic for another time, but a very legitimate topic. We need to be serious about serious things. But there is also a reason to be glad, rejoicing, to have joy and peace in our lives, and to have that appearance. Grant, you were talking about those of the world. I look at them and I see they're having a good time. They're enjoying things, but I see their end. To see the end of the Lord, that gives us a deeper happiness, a deeper joy, a deeper gladness. The world is seriously looking for something to feel good about. Jesus Christ has that. And it is our job to prove to them that His plan works. How effective are we going to be with a gloomy appearance? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I'm not trying to stray away from the topic of humor, but being a Christian does not equate a lifestyle of seriousness. There are definitely serious things in the Christian life, but Christianity does not delete all humor, fun, and expression of happiness. Christianity offers a variety of emotions. A variety of emotions. If any of you were at my wedding, as I stood up front and I saw Kim, and I get emotional only thinking about it, coming down the aisle. You know, about halfway through the service, I'm in tears. To the point of Wilford Landis is looking at me, "Do you want to continue?" This was a very serious time in my life. And I was so humbled that a woman this beautiful would marry me. But if you would have seen me driving home from our first date after I had kissed her goodnight, I was cackling with delight. I was laughing, I was grinning, I had found someone that's going to make my life very nice. A variety of emotions in a very healthy relationship. There's only one other relationship that's more important than that, and that's our relationship with God. And I am convinced that there is a variety of emotions. The sad, the laughter. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh. When the Ethiopian eunuch came out of the water, he went his way rejoicing. I don't see any of us thinking that he had a bitter, sour, disagreeable, or unpleasant expression. I'm sure he was humbled. I'm sure he was in awe, relieved, maybe a sense of celebration. Would a shout of victory be appropriate? How did you feel when you were baptized? The Philippian jailer, when him and his family were baptized, they rejoiced. In the second chapter of Acts, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their bread, they ate their food with gladness, praising God, having favor with all people. Now the same commentary says with rejoicing, it bestows additional joy in the participation of even our ordinary pleasure. God adds more joy, more happiness to our lives. Seriousness has its place, and it has its priority over humor. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Humor has its place, but it can be misused. It can be hurtful. I once made a comment to my in-laws My wife was present. She thought I was much too forward and quickly said, "He's just joking." My mother-in-law, with a smirk, said there is much truth in jest. My mother-in-law reads me like a book. I confess I have vented many times using humor. Unfortunately, we feel the idea that if we can kind of joke our way through it, we can express true feelings that perhaps we shouldn't have. Sarcasm probably enters the conversation here. A young brother confronted me one time. He says, "Jay, you joke a lot." He says, "Sometimes I think you're serious and you hurt my feelings." And I had to confess to him. God bless him for confronting me. Shame on me for being guilty of exactly what he was saying. A young man shared one time with tears of being teased by the crowd of his peers. He felt stabbed. He felt embarrassed. A sense of betrayal. He said, "I laughed as others did, but it hurt. It hurt inside." That's not funny. Sometimes we laugh to hide our pain. There's nothing at all funny about that. "Oh, be a sport. I was just kidding. Can't you take a joke? You're not very thick-skinned, are you?" Why do we need to test each other to see how thick-skinned we are? Why do we do that? Have you ever seen young boys punching on one another? Did that hurt? Did that hurt? Did that hurt? This is foolish. It's immature. One thing it promotes is lying. "No, that didn't hurt." Until you find both of them hurting because it went too far. I also see emotions challenged the same way with our teasing, with our joking, with our sarcasm, even with our mockery. Does that hurt? Why do we feel the need to test how thick-skinned we are to each other? Don't you know that the friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. In the arena of friendliness, who is winning, the world or the church? I have seen the world treat some better than how Christians treat them. I have witnessed brothers and sisters being mocked at and laughed at by other Christians. Do some go to church to be an emotional punching bag? I tell you, yes, some have. I wonder where they are today. That's not funny. Have you known any of these people? Consider what we say to each other. Now, there's nothing wrong with joking with each other, as long as everyone knows that there is love for each other. Everyone. The one speaking, the one that it is directed at, and those that are listening. As long as we are not having situations of venting true feelings, but feelings we shouldn't have, with sarcasm, we need to make sure that everything we say to one another is promoted by love. Adolf Hitler wrote in his book, Mein Kampf, "The great mass of people will more easily fall victim to a big lie than to a small one." The big lie technique was used in the World War II Nazi German propaganda to stereotype Poles of having subhuman intelligence. Many years followed with Polack jokes. I doubt that the Polish people see the humor. I doubt that they found the love. In August 1986, 14 postal workers were killed and 6 wounded by gunshots in an Oklahoma post office by a fellow worker. Between 1986 and 1997, there was more than 40 deaths and 20 such incidents. Going postal is slang for becoming extremely angry or deranged, especially in an outburst of violence. If you know anyone that works for the postal service, they probably find little humor in the phrase, going postal. That's not funny. I have a beautiful and intelligent wife that happens to have blonde hair. Because of some unintelligent individuals, it is thought that you cannot have blonde hair and be intelligent. I feel a bit defensive when I hear jokes about that. We have all heard comments that are intended to be funny, but they're just right down insulting. They're intended to be funny, perhaps. Maybe they're intended to be insulting. Kim tells me, Jay, you can be funny. Others try to be funny, and sometimes they're not. That makes me think about what I say. Do others think me to be insulting with my humor? People are drawn to the church looking for something different than the world has to offer. Okay, folks, what are we offering? How does it differ from the world? How do we welcome them in? How do we shine our light? How do we use our humor if we use it? What does the church have to offer as a support group? You know, there are so many different support groups in the world. We definitely are a support group. God has structured us that way. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly kindness and honor, giving preference to one another. That the members should have the same care one for another. Through love, serve one to another. Be submissive to one another. Be hospitable to one another. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, admonishing one another. Comfort one another. Exhort one another. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Not to provoke. Not to just provoke, to provoke and to love and to good works. Make sure that our comments to each other are promoted by love. Consider our jokes, our teasing, our sarcasm. Good, pure, wholesome humor is enjoyed by all. We all like to laugh. We all like to grin. We all like to smile. And I believe it's good for us. There's a time to weep. And there's a time to laugh.